Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and we are talking round 23 waiver wire pickups and just a bit of a review of what's happened in round 22. It is preliminary final weekend and grand final weekend in most of our draft leagues. So if you have gotten up and gotten the chocolates, well done. And if you're like our old mate Costa, lost the unlosable, better luck next year. But as always, to talk all things fantasy footy is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Doing crap, John. I've been laid up, man, all weekend. I haven't been to work since Thursday. I've had this flu and all my muscles have just been brutalized. Haven't been able to get out of bed. Haven't been able to open jars. My hands have been like that bad. It's been bad. So I was pretty happy to at least get a win in the fantasy this week.
That's what it's all about.
And a big man, Cam.
He's on fire, the goat. He is on fire. But and also, our salty friend from Tasmania. He's done it again. He's lost to his arch nemesis in We Got Big Cox. How you doing, Statesman?
I'm doing pretty well, to be quite honest with you, and not laid up because I eat salads, not chicken parmesanas. And so things are travelling pretty well. In five leagues in total, made five preliminary finals, won three, lost two. Unfortunately, one is to a big cox. Obviously, I'm intimidated by him.
He brings a strong meme game, let's be honest.
Yeah, he does.
Certainly does.
I will say I was quite nervous all the week leading up because if you looked at his team, he had a remarkable amount of St Kilda players. And with their matchup this week against North Melbourne, it was a little bit worrying. And look, that I think I went into the last day, he had five more players to play than me and over 400 in front. So I felt comfortable but kept on looking at all those St Kilda players and they just racked them up. And I wasn't too upset either because Billings was my captain in the Keeper League, Listener League Keeper, and into the grand final there. So Billings helped me there, so I can't complain.
No, very good. And I've come out of that dodgy time zone you were in just recently, Steve, in Adelaide. So that jet lag really kicks in, that half an hour difference.
You know what's really funny is actually we both visited Adelaide this year and both times one of us was there, the Crows lost a home game.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Well, I was there too. I'd better check that up to see if
Well, I've only lost three all year, so that'd be...
Put the kibosh on the Crows when we were in Adelaide. But no, awesome. Good times, good food and good drinking there in Adelaide. But fair bit of news coming out of the weekend. Harley Bunnell finally played his first game of AFL footy for the Dockers and got through unscathed, kicked a couple of nice goals as well. So look to grab him in your keeper leagues if he doesn't do a hammy or a calf over the...
Gentlemen, I was there between the 12th and the 14th of May. Would you believe it? Melbourne defeated Adelaide that weekend.
That's awesome.
So we've officially cursed the Crows in South Australia. They've got a home final in a couple of weeks. We should all head over there and watch them get buried.
Oh, God.
That's amazing.
Also, Jakey Stringer. He's done the string again, so he's probably gone for the rest of the year. Not that it matters because the Bulldogs will not be playing finals anyway. I didn't see it, but Jack Redden got reported for, was it a dangerous tackle? I didn't see the match, so not Who? Too sure what happened there.
Who? Carlisle?
Jack Redden.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Didn't see it? Bernie Vince also got reported again on the weekend for his hit on Dane Beams. Probably get a week just for being... Bernie Vince and Goldie, he copped a bit of a poke to the eye from Billy Longer as well. Ran out the rest of the game, but did come off late in the fourth quarter with a knee issue. So probably put him on ice for the rest of the year, seeing as the Roos can't go anywhere. And also, what was the other one? No, lost it. That's right. What was the other one? Carlisle.
He's a dick. Reported twice.
Reported twice.
Wow.
in the one incident, reported twice for striking in the one little scuffle. So Carlisle's going to be in a bit of trouble there. And if you want to, just to let you know, in a fortnight's time, we are going to be moving to Wednesdays. The show is going to be dropping on Wednesdays now that we're going to be entering our off-season. So just be aware of that when the shows are going to be recorded on Monday and dropping on Wednesday, just FYI. But we'll give you some more heads up as we get closer to the date. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and search for us on Facebook as well. Just search in The Draft Doctors there. But we are talking waiver wire pickups for those of you who do go straight through to round 23. And as always, we have our 65% rule, so giving everyone a fair go. But I believe the pool will be pretty shallow at this stage of the year. So, Steve, kick us off, and who have you got there, mate?
Yeah, look, the pool is so shallow, feel free to take your skateboard in there and start carving up the bowls. There is nothing in there. My first waiver pickup is Essendon.
Yeah.
Pick up the whole side. Not sure what their ownership percentage is, but they play Freo, and apparently that equals a 100-point win and fantasy bonanza for everyone. So, I don't know. Is Josh Green alive? I'd certainly look to grab any Essendon player I could. Billy Hartung, guys, we mentioned him last week. I think we wrote him up in the articles as well. 65% ownership. He gave you 110 against Carlton. Quite fantastic. Playing the Bulldogs this week. No, that's not a bad matchup. So if you need a midfielder, you can imagine the Hawks would be giving it everything they got for old glug glug vroom vroom. I've got a couple of real bolters here for you guys, and forward Jake Need for Port Adelaide, coming in at a whopping 3% ownership, playing Gold Coast at home. We know Port can put on a clinic at home. He's actually been okay, getting around 70s in his last two games. You could do worse than that. I mean, I'm not sure I'd feel great about it, but it's there as an option. And a defender, Jake Colajasny, 14% ownership, playing GWS. We know that's generally a handy matchup for defenders, although he has been playing a little bit more wing. I don't know. There's nothing there for me. If you guys have got better waivers, I'd absolutely hit them up. But and we're available to hit on social media if you do have a question. So hit us up. But what do you guys got?
Yeah, it's not too much from my angle. I will say, not that I want to give away the one secret weapon that I've got for this week, because Steve and I are actually up against each other in the Listener League Keeper final. So looking forward to give the Frankston Old Boys a bit of a touch-up this weekend. But Braden Pruce, named him last week for the ruck position and had to share the role, was a bit sore. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this week. But Goldie's injury opens the door for him to actually be the number one ruckman. And if Braden Pruce doesn't get up, it's going to be interesting what they're going to do, gentlemen. So I doubt they're going to take Ben Brown out of the forward line. So someone might be coming in and actually playing that role for him this week. So just keep an eye on for that one. For a defender, I actually really like Dan Houston. So a defender, Port Adelaide, owned by 53%, playing up against the Gold Coast for the grand final matchup this weekend coming. Solid score and safe for a nice 50. A nice 70. So I'm thinking that he's the type, if you've got an injury or a couple of concerns, or you have Bernie Vince, who might be getting a bit of a break, jump on to Dan Houston. I think he's quite worthwhile.
I think he's still only a forward, like he's only a forward in Supercoach.
Are you sure? Okay, my apologies. He's a forward.
Because he got the DPP edition.
Right. Okay, no, that's fair enough. I think you're right. He started as a forward but got the forward.
He's
defender.
Listed as a forward in Supercoach.
Right, there you go. Billy Hartung, we mentioned him before, midfield Hawthorn, just racking him up over the last few weeks, owned by 65%. And I also continue to like Ryan Clark, number 13 for North Melbourne, as a forward, owned by 52%. averaging over 80 in his last month and up against Brisbane this week. So a really good matchup for Ryan Clark. That's my waivers, gentlemen.
Yeah, and continuing on with that North Melbourne forward, I'm going to go with Taylor Garner at 44% as well. He's averaging about the mid to high 80s that last month as well, getting up on the wing, getting the possessions, kicking goals. So as Statesman just said, playing the Brisbane Lions, good for fantasy points right there. I've spoken about him a few weeks. He is just above our 65%. It's Gus Brayshaw. He's come back with a bang. They are playing Collingwood this week, so they do tend to give up some of the points there. The Pies play as that mid-forward and link player, so really liking Gus Brayshaw. And Jake Melksham's actually put some really nice scores together the last couple of weeks as a midfielder, owned by 50% of teams. So if you need a bit of midfield coverage, I'd be looking to pick up Jake Melksham. But the cupboard is very bare at this time of the year, so not too many waiver wires going around. But as Steve said, hit us up on the social media if you've got any questions.
Yeah, it's interesting you guys were mentioning North players. Who do you think wins that match? Because I got a feeling Brisbane win.
I agree.
It's at the Gabba, so, and both are playing for the bottom of the ladder, really. It's for the spoon. So it's going to be an interesting match. But, yeah, it's at Brisbane.
Now, I don't know if we mentioned this in the news, but I did see something over the past 24 hours that Taylor Adams may miss the last home and away game. Have you guys seen that at all?
No.
No, I haven't heard anything about that.
So I'll search while we're doing the pod just to see if I can get the information. But I'm sure I saw somewhere that Taylor Adams might be missing his last home and away game, which will be a real shock to a lot of teams that made the grand final, because guaranteed he's one of the teams they would have been raking some points out of. So I'll check that up for us, gentlemen.
He's not just being salty because Collingwood aren't playing finals this year, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think it was more injury-based, but I'll chase that one up.
And if you are liking the show, you can check us out on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. We're also on Pod Paradise and just about every other streaming service out there that we do not know about, because they're coming out of the woodworks on Twitter and letting us know. So thank you very much for that. If you've got a spare 5 minutes, leave us a review. It takes only just a couple of minutes. We really appreciate it. Helps our brand out, and hit the subscribe button, because we do go all year round. We don't take a break. So while the between the footy and cricket seasons, give you something to listen to, and give you some tips for when our Big Bash League starts up as well.
But there you go, gentlemen. I just found it. Collingwood will assess the status of Taylor Adams ahead of the final round after he suffered a blurred vision in the loss to Geelong on Saturday. There you go.
There you go.
Pick up Josh Thomas.
Yeah.
Well, why not? He can win a hard ball.
Didn't I trade him to you there?
So yeah, then I put him on the waiver. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for reminding me.
No, Josh Thomas, not Josh Smith.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. But just having a bit of a recap of round 22, it was the Crows taking on the Sydney Swans. And as I was in Adelaide on Friday night, put the kibosh on them, going down by 3 points, controversial free kick with Eddie Betts. Didn't think it was a 50-metre penalty, but is what it is. When you don't tag this bloke, Rory Sloane, he goes absolutely massive. 153 Dream Team, 140 Supercoach. He'd be loving if you put the C on him this week. Good personality, Tom Lynch, just gets the job done. Just over the ton in both formats with 7 marks. Pretty good if you get him as your D4 in whatever format you've got there. Rory Led, also in some fantastic form. 116 Dream Team, 124 Supercoach. Interesting this one, Sauce Jacobs just went over the ton in both formats. Had 48 hitouts. Amazing that none of them would have gone. I don't know how many went to advantage, but still very interesting that you thought he would have gone bigger there. Matt Crouch, another 30-odd disposal game. Just went over the ton in Dream Team. Didn't hit the ton in Supercoach. His disposal efficiency was pretty good, so didn't get as many tackles and marks that he normally gets. Just slightly down in the last few weeks. And he had a 2-to-1 handball ratio as well. So
2.5.
The 2.5. Okay. I was being gentle on him. So 24 handballs, 10 kicks, I think it was. And McGovern and Levi Greenwood gave you some pretty serviceable scores as well. It's going to be an interesting one next year, Greenwood, don't you reckon?
Well, I tweeted that out Friday night. Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you, Jono. Absolutely.
I also like McGovern too. I don't know if he does go to a West Coast or wherever, a Fremantle, he could be of some value next year.
Well, I mean, he's probably some sneaky value now, wouldn't
he? Mm. Oh, and now, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greenwood's the one for me. Just the clearance rate is fantastic.
Do you think he gets DPP or
that's gonna be a big question. Does he go the not eighth round or does he go the 16th round?
Yeah, exactly right. And that's something we can talk about in our DPP show coming up. But the Swans, how well did they fare there, Statesman?
Well, they did very well when it comes to the actual result of the football game, but not so well in scoring. A bleat one player, JPK, gentlemen. Magnificent game after coming off with two games off with his hamstring injury. And would you believe it, the stupid Statesman traded him out in AFL fantasy. What a ridiculous decision that was. 130, he was dominant from the first bounce of the ball. Danham played reasonably well, but only scored the 98. McVeigh, who's destroyed our defenders, scored 89 himself. Speaking of one of the defenders he destroyed in Jake Lloyd, he actually got a bit of a link-up play on Friday and got himself an 88. Parker and Heaney were okay, serviceable with their 87s, but certainly want bigger scores from those two Jets. And that wraps up the Sydney Swans.
Heaney wasn't even looking like getting that.
No, he wasn't, was he?
And moving on to the early game, it was in Mars, on Mars Stadium in Ballarat. I couldn't believe the commentators kept going on and on about that being some sort of funny joke, because it wasn't. The Bulldogs went down to the Power, certainly looking like they're going to miss the finals, the Dogs, and the Power still looking for a top four, but highly unlikely. But not too much to write home about with the Bulldogs. Jack McRae was fantastic. He was involved in everything. I hope he does keep his forward status for next year, because that would be great. I don't think he's kicked a goal all year, but I still hope he keeps that forward status. Jason Johannesson was great off the back line. Got you a ton in Dream Team, just under a ton in Supercoach. Toby McLean toiled hard all day, got you the ton in Supercoach, just under in Dream Team. Ruffy was pretty good as well, up against the mighty Paddy Ryder. Got you some nice scores of a 19 Supercoach, 85 Dream Team. Libba got a Supercoach ton for the first time in God knows how long. Only the 80s in Dream Team, though. You got some okay scores from Suckling and Caleb Daniels. And the Bont, if you made him captain, he was tagged all day long and didn't have too much of an influence of the game, but there wasn't too much to write home about for the Western Bulldogs. But I imagine there would have been a fair bit for Port Adelaide.
Actually, I've got quite the opposite written down, Jono. Travis Boak played pretty well, which is good. He's having a pretty good second half, I think, since he's got forward status. Maybe he's developing into that role a little bit more. We saw him trialled in it last year without great success, but he'll be an interesting guy in drafts, I'd imagine, next year with that forward status. Paddy Ryder, again, going quite well. Wines had a good game. Charlie Dixon kicked forward, got goals, was very good, got you a good score. I thought Port were just the better team all day, but really only kicked away at the end. There's not a lot of surprises left with Port Adelaide, I think. Guys, you sort of know what they're going to do, but the one thing, they did have a first game. It was a high pick from last year, Todd Marshall. Came in, I think he scored around 50, but going forward, he looks to be Justin Westhoff's replacement, I'd say. He moves quite well, quite tall, rangy, like Westhoff, maybe with a little bit better size over time. But he's probably not fantasy relevant now, but he, Port fans would probably be excited that he's getting some games.
Yeah, definitely. And the traditional game was 2:10 at the MCG. It was Collingwood taking on Geelong. I was watching this game at the Adelaide Casino side by side with the Doggies game, and what the hell happened there? Collingwood kicked away and then just stopped, really, and they're just trying to save the game for 2.5 quarters.
Well, just Geelong put it, man behind the ball.
Oh, okay.
So that was it.
Yep. But for the Cats, Paddy Dangerfield, as usual, doing what Paddy does, even though he can't win the Brownlow, racking up big fantasy scores for everyone. 146 Supercoach, 126 Dream Team. Sam Menegola, got a lot of interest in this guy next year. It'd be great as that M5, if you can get him there, if you're going to produce scores like this. 132 Dream Team, 118 Supercoach. Mitch Duncan, back from suspension. Slip strike back into that midfield, getting you good tons in both formats. You got super coach tons from Zach Smith, Stewart, and Tui as well. And you also had some pretty good scores from Scooter Selwood and Cam Guthrie. He's had a pretty good couple of last couple of weeks. But the Pies, they did toil hard, but not quite to be. Steve?
No, they started well, kicking 7 goals pretty quickly, but then fell apart and didn't do again. But a lot of interest to me around Collingwood. They've got a lot of questions in the off-season, and as fantasy players, that's kind of good in a lot of ways, especially in your draft format. Mason Cox, though, he played very, very well, I thought. Got a lot of hit-outs, kicked a couple of goals, scored you the 128 Dream Team, 95 Supercoach. If you're a Grundy owner, he's going to play next week. I think Mason Cox is playing next week, so that's really interesting because he gives them something, and when he got going, he did give them something. So it'll be interesting to see. Taylor Adams continues his fantastic form. Wait, there's a man who's...
Yeah, sweet revenge for We Got Big Cox because he's got Grundy and his score's going to be ruined.
Oh, well. Someone's a little bit too happy over there. He might know that he might also know that I've got Grundy.
Yes!
Yeah, that's all right.
Everything's coming up, Statesman.
Yeah. Wait, who do Essendon play next week?
Fremantle.
Ah, my boy Belcho.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Tom.
I think I put Belcho on the waiver wire.
I can't believe someone dropped him. I was like, hey, what's his name? Jordan Ruffhead. I'm like, oh, I'll have a look at the pool. Oh, Belcho, you're playing literally no one this week.
Yeah, that was
handy. Tom Phillips got you the ton in Dream Team with his 26 disposals, 67 Supercoach, 8 clangers will do that to you. Gentlemen, the Sharon Goat, game number 13, he got through it unscathed, 97 Dream Team, 88 Supercoach, going along very nicely. He will be drafted next year.
Top 10 in for Steve, that's for sure.
Top 10 defenders, let's not go crazy. Yeah, right. Adam Treloar got your 90s, but I looked at Dacos and Brown. Dacos having his first game, 16 tackles between them, which is pretty encouraging, I guess you'd say, for scrappy small forward guys. But geez, they look small. Geez, they look real small, especially Callum Brown. But you got to think Jared Blair's got to be out of that team next year.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, you would think so. Mm. The next game was the Twilight game at Spotless Stadium. It was a GWS taking on the West Coast. Didn't see too much of this game and don't know what the scores were like, so it'll be interesting to hear how the GWS scored.
Well, they all scored pretty... No, I don't know. I didn't actually watch this game. I missed this one, to be honest. But Kelly and Whitfield got 130 apiece. Ward had a big ton. Shaw started slow but got freed up, sort of had a role change with Zach Williams. I know that much. Lids started well again, kept it going a little bit better this time, got 70% game time with 82 Dream Team, 96 Supercoach. If you were hard up, maybe you'd play him next week. Don't love the matchup against the Cats, though. Toby Green got your 90s, as he does. A lot of okay scores in this game, but nothing super aside from the top three mids. Jacob Hopper continues to just get crucified by his game time. 62% just makes him unplayable for mine. He only got 30s. Even Devin Smith, 70% time on ground. So those half forward types, that's a problem. That's a big question because you'd expect them to be higher than the midfielders, but the midfielders are getting the 90% game time. So I'm not sure.
You did miss mentioning Devin Smith's wonderful plus three.
Well, how'd he go last week? That was more classic Devon Smith.
Moving on to West Coast Eagles, Matt Prittis celebrated the end of his career, his last trip away with 127. It was fantastic to see Elliot Yeo in great form, not only in football, but also in point scoring. I think that's the first big score for quite a while, 113 for him. Jack Redden, who we heard was reported, got 98. And his potential suspension might be very good for Dom Sheed, who is getting limited game time with all the midfielders back, with Mitchell, Prittis, and Redden. So if you haven't got him or he's available or you can trade him in a keeper league, get Dom Sheed in because he's the big gainer out of those departures next year. He got 88, Sam Mitchell 87, and Luke Shuey thereabouts. He certainly had a fantastic first half of the season but dropped away in his scoring. Only 80, and now he's averaging about 98. He was averaging close to 110 for the first half of the season.
And moving on to the first night game up at Metricon Stadium, it was the Gold Coast taking on the Bombers. A bit of a who cares sort of match because it was always going to be one-way traffic. How'd your old boy Aaron Hall go?
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hall come out with the goods this week with 110, but don't bank that for next week, gentlemen. You never know what you're going to get with him. But the big move, Trent McKenzie. Now, he did great scoring when he was a young fella and looked like he's going to be one of those big booted wingmen who just racked him up the plus sixes. But then he started getting locked down defensive roles. Change of coach? Might be change of career for Trent McKenzie. But the Cannon, 109. So that's very promising. So keep your eye on him. If that role continues and Solomon gets the gig, then Trent McKenzie might be great value in your drafts next year. Pierce Hanley also turned up. Stephen May, who we know is a great defender and will be a really good scorer once he can get his body right, got 99. Mitch Hanahan, who was a great waiver wire pickup for me, released him for Bell Chambers, would you believe? covering for Lockie Neal's injury. Obviously wasn't going to drop Lockie Neal on a keeper league. He scored 94. And Dave Swallow, yeah, he's sort of where I think Dave Swallow is going to be, mid-80s.
And how was it on the Bobbers side?
Well, Zaka continued his fantastic form, been really good in the second half of the season, 130. He was just the one that got loose. Tom Bell Chambers scored a wonderful 116. He'll be never doing that again. I don't think he'll play Kevin Brooksby. But back him in next week. Would you, Steve, back him in?
Keegan Brooksby?
No. Who?
Bell Chambers.
Tom Bell Chambers.
Yeah, over Grundy.
Yep, back him in next week.
It's a good decision, mate. It probably is. I'll be playing Keegan Brooksby as well, so one of them should score.
Dyson Heppel again played that link-up role, 111 for him. And Goddard, who was my risky captain in the Statesman Skippers, got you 110. Bagley, which was a really good sign, hit a bit of form. He's been able to score pretty well in previous years. It's the first really decent score he's had all year for a 92. Zach Merritt was tagged out of the game, gents, and was very slow to start. It was only his last quarter that he started racking them up, but only a 91 for him. And Pops Kelly, been a fantastic footballer and a great servant of fantasy football as well. Got a good 90, and we'll make sure he has a good farewell in his last game this weekend.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Servant to the game, Pops Kelly, especially with his aerodynamic nut.
And you were bagging the commentators for taking the low-hanging Mars jokes.
Yes.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the one-nut man. But the next game on Saturday night was Carlton upsetting Hawthorn. 7 points there. The Hawks Tommy Mitchell, he's got to go close to the Brownlow this year, you would think. Broke the possessions record with about 4,470 possessions for the year so far. 161 Supercoach, 143 Dream Team. Lock him in as a top 10 midfielder and a top 10 probably pick next year, you would imagine, for Tommy Mitchell. 20 contested possessions as well, just fantastic. Ryan Burton, probably got the NAB Rising Star sewn up. He's turned up again in both formats, 111 Dream Team, 105 Supercoach. As Steve mentioned earlier, Billy Hartung got you the 110 in Dream Team, got you the 117 as well in Supercoach. Isaac Smith turned up in both formats, again having a pretty decent season. Sean Burgoyne, also pretty good, got you the ton in Supercoach only. And you also had some good scores from Ricky Henderson, who's actually been going pretty well in the last month or so, giving me some good usable scores in as well. Jack Gunson, he was actually tagged at stages as well. Got you the 80s. And Big Boy McAvoy up against the Mighty Cruiser did pretty well for some 80s as well. But the Blue Baggers got the job done.
Yeah, they certainly did, Jono. They were allowed to play their chip game that they like to play from early in the year, and it led to some pretty damn good fantasy scoring for them. Sam Doherty got you the 140s in both formats on thanks to 15 marks, tends to help. And there was just a stack of scores in the 90s and 100s, depending on which format you're in. Cade Simpson, the actual rising star, Charlie Kernow, Blaine Bokhorst, Bryce Gibbs, Sam Kerridge, Mark Murphy, Jacob Wiedering, even Jed Lamb playing a defensive forward role on James Sicily, absolutely owning him, but kicking goals as well.
Never speak of him again.
Love James. Lamb was one of Sicily. Yeah. It was like my Skype camera just zoomed in on you then when you were just saltying up. That was weird. It's like a meme. Like I've typed in disappointment to the gift generator or whatever it's called. This has come up. Also, Jack Silvani, what a terrible game. Terrible game. And boy, he's really tough once the players stopped. And I really enjoyed listening to the Drill podcast because they did make mention of Jack Silvani and how he is one of the worst one-on-one contest players in the game. I thought it was most ironic. But that'll be an interesting team next year. Carlton? And just on Tom Mitchell, Jono, there was a certain scaring the archives this week. Someone did mention he was a bit of a Brownlow smoky at the start of the year, 50-1.
That old Ocker on our...
No, it was me.
I don't care about you. Go with old Ocker.
Old Ocker picked him as the B&F.
Fantasy best and fair, yeah.
And we're probably a little bit harsh saying that was probably, you know, a little bit obvious. We wanted someone from left field, but he was spot on the mark and needs the credit for it.
Certainly
well,
does.
Was he the best and fairest? Who was the...
Well, it ain't
the Phantom. The Phantom picked Josh Kelly.
Oh, did he really?
Who would have gone about six rounds later, so...
Yeah.
Well, Tom Lynch ain't done nothing.
Yeah, Ollie wasn't Nick Riewoldt.
wasn't
Stanton, though.
It wasn't Stanton, no. But the early game at the MCG was the Demons just hanging on against the Lions. They will play finals football this year, the Demons. It was the GOAT again in Cam Pedersen, our favourite here. Three goals, 123 Dream Team, 116 Supercoach. His teammate, Jesse Hogan, bagged six goals, but only 108 Dream Team and 103 Supercoach. 15 possessions, goals don't matter. Even when you kick six straight, he should have had about 190, I reckon. Nathan Jones had a great return from his injury again, getting in the 105 in Dream Team, 133 Supercoach. Jake Melksham, as we mentioned in the waiver wire pickups, got you 120s in both formats. He could be a handy little bench player for you if you're going into your final this week. Michael Hibbard, he's been fantastic in Supercoach. Got you the ton again. He's just marking everything in defence there and pretty much just nullifying Bernie Vince, who was playing that plus one man. So basically, you're just shutting him right out. And you also got some good scores from Jordan Lewis, Clayton Oliver, Petraka as well. So some good scores there for the Demons, and they should go all right against the Pies next week. But the Brisbane Lions, how'd they fare?
Yeah, the two guns got the scores. Dane Beams, 138, and Dane Zorka, 125. Do I sound disappointed? It's because I've never had the guts to get either of these two, which is just ridiculous. And I'm thinking they're going to break down. One of them's going to get tagged, and the other one's going to get injured. But every week they burn me. Pasternak, who was on the waiver wire, continues his great form, a 93 for him. Steph Martin, it's a big task against Maxi Gawn, isn't it? But Maxi wasn't brilliant, but it just probably stopped Steph getting to the big level. 82 for him. Witherden, there's one for a keeper, gentlemen. If you haven't got him, he's worthwhile. He's going to be an absolute jet. 81 for him. And Tommy Rockliffe, the guy I brought in for JPK. So that's a minus 50 score there with his magnificent 80.
Unless it's above 80, that's usable.
Yeah.
But the middle game was the Saints taking on North Melbourne. The Roos tried hard early, but it was the Saints all the way in the end. You had Luke Dunstan. He had a really good game. Got you 119 in both formats. Jack Stephen, it's a bit like junk time goal. He's giving us junk time fantasy scores. Didn't do it during the home and away, but he's doing it in the finals. 153 Supercoach, 117 Dream Team. Jack Steele has been an absolute great pickup for the Saints, tonning it up again in both formats. The Saints are really loving his hardness around the ball. Seb Ross was also good. Got you 107 Dream Team, 114 Supercoach. You got Dream Team tons from Billings and Akers as well. And you got some really nice scores from Bruce, Geary, and Sinclair. But I dare say there wouldn't be too much to write about home about North Melbourne.
No.
No,
there's not. Look, they hung in there at the start for a while. They lost Nielsen, one of their gun young defenders early. Oh, he is. He's shutting people down. They had Goldie hurt. They had Bruce hurt. They played on manfully. But let's talk about Ben Cunnington, guys. What a huge game it was. I don't know why they don't give this guy game time all the time, because he just performs when he does. Got you the 130 in both formats. 36 touches, 22 contested, if you don't mind. 7 tackles and a couple goals. He is a one-man band in there. Sean Higgins, quite good again. Didn't get tagged, so it was a bit like that. It was a very free, open game. I think this is the first time North haven't tagged Jack Stephen since, you know, I was a teenager. Todd Goldstein, 70% game time, but still got your 98 Dream Team and 92 Supercoach. He was playing very, very well. I did keep my eye on Jai Simpkin, one of their high draft picks. Look, he looks handy, but he did fade in, started okay, but just a couple pre-seasons. I think he moves pretty well. Looks like he's got some skills we've seen over the journey, but of the season. Might be a guy to consider at the end of your keeper picks next year, and maybe in redraft in 2 years, I would say.
Fair enough. And the last game was Richmond taking on something that represented Fremantle. I'm sure it's going to be quick from the Statesman regarding the Fremantle team, because I'm sure there wasn't too many good scores.
There's one line on the Fremantle scores this week: no Lockie Neal, no Fremantle. That's it, gentlemen.
Statesman's lost it.
He's salted right up.
5 pumped out of 95. Brad Hill come off injured, so it'll be interesting to see how that tracks during the week. He got a 93. Crozier, he's going to take mark of the year. There's no doubt. He's just going to pop out one day and just pick out a blinder. He got you an 89. Ballantyne, 86, which was quite interesting. Dave Mundy did enough for you to get you across the line and play me in the grand final next week, Steve, with his 85. And Tucker's an interesting one. Defender, 84. He's only averaging around the mid-60s, but he's when he plays that loose role and the link-up role, scores quite well, got an 84 this week.
Fantastic. And I'm sure there would have been tons galore from the Tigers, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to ask Statesman, Harley Bunnell. Did you see any of his form or?
Yeah, look, he looked quite sharp early on, but obviously not playing for 2 years. You haven't got your match fitness and you're not living up to the pace. So did some spectacular things early, but just faded out of the game from there.
And no, when he 48%.
Yeah, so when he was playing well, which was early in the game when he was fresh and put on a couple of goals, Fremantle were in the game. Once he faded out, the spark was gone.
But yeah, there was a lot of Tiger tons. Basically, everyone got a ton, except for Jack Riewoldt. He really got struggled to get into a 100-point win, but did finish with four. But yeah, Koch got tagged, and that's about it. Everyone else did well.
There you go.
Jacob Townsend got to kick six goals. Even if someone asked me, should I play him, I'd say no.
No.
Why would you? Jesus.
Jacob Townsend.
I think the encouraging thing is Prestia again played, got you a decent score, seven tackles. You got to like that in a massive win. Seven tackles, I think that's pretty good.
Certainly one to be watching for next year, Prestia, that's for sure. But, guys, we received a message as we're recording from one of our listeners.
No, I'm not answering.
It's not a question. It's a thank you. It's from Rob Boylan. He says, I discovered you guys around the AFL Grand Final last year. He's been downloading the pod every week. He goes, thank you guys so much for helping me deliver my first flag. So couldn't have done it without your insight. Woo! He's got his flag. He's won by about 50 points there. So congratulations, Rob. He's sent in the team photo there. He's actually got a pretty good team. You see now, Tommy Mitchell, captain, Bryce Gibbs, Matty Crouch, Duncan, Whitfield, Howe, Lloyd, and Doherty. So that's all I can see. Yeah. I can't see the forward line. So not bad team.
I was going to say he might be the fine young gentleman that asked us which of his three ruckmans he should play, and we both suggested Tom Bell Chambers. Just can't with the matchup.
Okay. Well done to Rob. And as we mentioned, we are going all year round. Next week, we're going to have our Fantasy All-Australian pod where we're going to go through and I'll be talking defenders. Steve's going to be – what are you? You midfields?
I'm forwards.
Forwards and
– so you know who's going to be in there.
Cam Pedersen, captain.
Goddamn right.
And Statesman will be doing the midfielders and the rucks. We will come up with a ruck and have a bit of a debate about that as well.
And I will give one hint in my All-Australian team. There is no, like Fremantle, Lockie Neal.
Oi. There will be Sam Doherty.
He's not a midfielder.
He is a defender.
You got to get over that one, guys. The season's over.
One more game. One more game.
That's right. We'll have to review our grand final matchup. That'll be the people will be thrilled for that one.
Oh, yeah.
See if he can choke away another flag.
I will try hard.
Well, that wraps up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Search us on Facebook, The Draft Doctors there. We are going all year round. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And don't forget, in a couple of weeks' time, we will be dropping on a Wednesday and recording on Monday. So we'll let you all know about that. And if you are in your grand finals, good luck.
Now, we'll say in our grand final matchup, you will be playing a team that does not have a round one or a round two draft selection in it. That's where Lunch Meat Is Back is at.
Well,
had the last pick in the draft, and I don't have a round one or round two draft pick sitting in my team or playing currently.
Well, that's what happens when you sell your future for this year, Statesman. I wouldn't know about that. I'm planning long term with my team, the Frankston Old Boys.
Yeah, that's why you've got all the oldies in yours and I've got all the kids.
If only Jared Waite was playing, I'd bring him in.
You got Jared McBay?
No, I wish. I got Sean Burgoyne.
He's been good. Been good.
Been fine.
All right. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.